in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 242 of the Self-Help Podcast. Me, Ed Lamb, and we good pal Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I'm stunning and amazing.
Have you helped lots of people this week?
Oh, every week.
How many people each week do you think you work with and help?
I know you're talking about, this sounds crazy, this. I see between 40 and 50 people a week usually.
Individuals?
Yeah.
Plus, do you work with groups as well?
Yeah, I do groups as well. So I'm thinking sort of 30. Yeah, 40 and maybe 3 groups.
Sean's a psychotherapist, I should add, in case there's any new listeners out there. He does help. What percentage of people do you think you help, and what percentage do you think you're of no use to? or you've set them back?
The thing about the kind of work I do is that the first session that you have with people is one which is the negotiation, can we work together? And if I can't, you know, if we can't work together either, it's a personality thing or issues are different, then it's a case of me finding someone that they can work with. You know?
Okay.
So, you can't work with everybody. So the people that I end up taking on, we have an agreed contract to do certain stuff. So we do that. And then we check it out as we go along,
yeah,
to whether it's working or not.
Interesting. We should do like a week in the life of a psychotherapist.
Do you think?
One episode of these just to see the kind of range. Obviously, we don't want to mention any names or personal
stuff.
But get an idea of what's going on in the world.
It comes in waves, and it's like at the moment we're into divorce season.
It's always divorce season whenever you mention
it's after Christmas. We get that after Christmas and after the summer holidays.
Right.
So we're right in it at the moment. So all the solicitors are clapping their hands and they're getting the cash tills out because this is when they make a lot of money. I suppose solicitors and gyms are the people that make the money in January.
Maybe. Yeah, I do have a close contact, and their relationship has just fallen apart right after Christmas. I think they saw it through for the sake of the little ones.
Yeah,
it's ended now. Hey, yo.
Yeah, yeah. But it's ever so common at this time, you know, and it will quieten down over the next month or so.
Okay.
Yeah, as people are settling into the new year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we get back up and running. Okay, liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Lots of information about how Sean can help there, and lots of resources on the website that we've put together for you. You put your email address in the box, we'll send you some meditation files, for example. And all previous episodes are online. You have written a blog post for this week, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
We're talking about power or powerlessness.
Yeah, it's both ends of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it struck me after the podcast that we've been doing over the last few, that how much of it was all about power and people exercising power either over other people or over other beings, because we started talking about veganism and stuff like that.
We did. No, it was good fun, that one, a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We had Jody in. All right, cool. Before we get into that, what have you been up to apart from working hard?
I think I need to do a shout-out for Apple, I think.
Because they need any help.
Well, I took a phone in there that was pretty smashed up, about 4 years old, and wanted a new screen on it. And they tried to fix it, and they couldn't fix it. So they gave me a brand new phone for the price of a new screen, which was really amazing. You know? So it's my spare phone that I'd use in places like Qatar or whatever, that kind of thing. I was just amazed at the service that they offered. Okay, you pay a kind of a premium, but you get kind of service as well.
You are Mr. Apple. Probably the kind of special little alarm went off in the back when you walked in the shop.
Yeah.
Mr. Orford's here, Mr. Orford.
I haven't got a watch then. I'm not posh.
I was going to say, you're not quite Mr. Apple, really, until you got one of these bad boys, which is pretty cool.
Are you happy with it now? You got it fixed and it's all?
I am, yeah. Yeah, it's not a life-changing device, the Apple Watch, but it's cool. I use it multiple
times. When you smashed the screen on that, did they give you a good deal on that?
I didn't have the insurance, so it wasn't great. But I remember I didn't use it for a few months because I thought I was going to have to basically pay for a whole new watch, or almost. Mm. But when I finally got around to actually speaking to them in the shop, it turned out it was much less than that. Yeah. It's about half the price of a new watch. So I'd got 4 or 5 months without it, and then it was pretty a nice little process to get it back up and running.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's a cool little thing. Yeah. Not life-changing, but, you know.
So what have you been up to in your life?
Just buzzing around here, there, and everywhere on my bike. I've got a flat. I've got a puncture at the moment, so when you go after this, I've got to fix it so I can take it home tonight and get the boys down to swimming lessons. That's all my life at the moment. Work, kids, sleep, yada yada.
So you don't keep a foam cylinder that you can fill your bike with foam?
Not a foam one. No, I've got a pump on me all the time, and I'm used to kind of. I've had a slow puncture for ages, but I think it must have got a bit faster. But luckily there's a spare bike been down in the hall at the office here, so I borrowed that last night. I've got home on that, so it was always away in there.
Whose is that?
It belongs, funnily enough, to World Chamber.
Oh, right, so it's like
just
a,
been sat there
a spare bike.
I think they've got quite a few of them in a shed, so we're going to try and have like a little community office bike scheme, which I'm working with I can hopefully work with the team here on.
Good idea.
Right, we'll crack on. We're talking about power. Do you think Apple are too powerful? A big, huge company like that, for a start. We'll make it more personal shortly, but...
I think any company that holds a monopoly on something that has power has to be very mindfully aware of what they're doing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you can get an abuse of power, can't you? I mean, the monopolies commissions that get in the way. We've got Mr. Sky, what's his name? Murdoch,
yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to take over things, aren't they? And the Monopolies Commission is saying, now, hang on, this family's developing too much power over the media.
Yeah.
You know, we need to peddle it back a bit.
A bit late now, isn't it? Blimey, neck. Do you personally, how powerful do you feel, Sean?
As powerful as I need to be. You know, to me, the power of self-determination is the thing. But I come back to the definition that I used in the blog, which is that an engineer defines power as the ability to do work, and I like that. It's like all of us need to do things in life, and our ability to do that means we have to exercise our power. And if we don't have enough power, we can't do the things we need to do.
Yeah.
Now, that's relative, isn't it? Because most people need to have a house, they need to feed their kids, they need to be warm, there's all that kind of stuff. When we start to get into an abuse of power, because it's one of the statistics that kind of made me think a lot about this, is I was looking at a thing that said that there's 8 people that have more wealth than 50% of the whole of humanity.
Yeah.
And you came up with a stat about the States.
Yeah, similar this morning. I just saw a tweet. There's the three richest people in America own as much as the bottom 50% total.
And to me, that has to be fundamentally wrong.
Yeah, I agree. Isn't there an argument to say that the power can or does trickle? I don't want to talk about. I don't get into economics, but trickle down or cascade down at all. You do get philanthropists, don't you?
Yeah. And there's always the issue of people get what they deserve, people get what they work for, and all that kind of stuff. And I understand that. But the idea that there are people that are holding so much stuff, and yet it's like the issue about we're going to move into a point soon where we're going to have trillionaires. And a trillionaire means...
Have we not got any yet?
No, not there yet. Right. When you become a trillionaire, you'd have to spend £1 million a day for over 2,000... £1 million a week for over 2,000 weeks.
Right, OK.
To spend all the money. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah, interest rates are low at the moment, but you can still probably do all right.
But
alone.
It's a massive, massive amount of money, isn't it? And it's like, why would anybody want to hold that much energy to themselves? You know, what benefit does it have for them?
Yeah.
Because it does come back to that thing about you can only drive one car at a time, you can only have one pair of pants at a time, you can only live in one bedroom at a time, you can only use one bathroom at a time, and yet some people need to have so many of these things.
Golden toilets, etc.
Yeah, if you want to have golden toilets, help yourself, you know, if it makes your bum feel better.
That's the thing about money, isn't it? I mean, maybe these super wealthy rich guys, they haven't got like wads of cash, they haven't got their $1 trillion. Stuffed into a mattress. That $1 trillion is in a bank somewhere, working elsewhere, isn't it? The banks will be then taking that and investing it here, there, and everywhere, obviously for a return for the wealthy people. but it'll be out there doing other things. Money isn't something you just have blocked
up somewhere. I think that money is like anything. It's neutral. It's not the money itself. It's what we do with it or don't do with it that's important, isn't it? We can invest our money in making bombs that are going to kill other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that an actual useful investment for humanity? Mm. You know, and it's those kinds of things. When you start looking at power and how power is distributed and how we use power, and you start looking at the kind of inequity between different groups of people.
Yeah.
And if you take Joda's line from the vegan podcast, then she's including all the animals as people as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you start to think about it, why are we doing what we're doing? You know, have we developed what we're doing? And the weird thing is that the way human consciousness is constructed, the people that need power and need to lead and need to control always float to the surface. So it's like in Russia, we had the revolution where we got rid of those people that were at the top, mm-hmm. and the idea that we were all going to be equal. And then you get the idea of, well, some people are more equal than others, and then it gradually reasserts itself. So we get it floats to the top again. So the people. So
is this just like a natural state for human beings? We have a class system in the UK, don't we? Which is kind of pretty much ingrained. Is that just a natural thing that would happen?
No, I think what it is, I think it's a stage of human consciousness, of human evolution. So we're at a point where. Most countries now would see it wrong to have slaves or to be bear baiting or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So it's like we evolve slowly. Mm-hmm. But that idea that I am more equal than you, you know, I look down on you, I look up to him, that kind of stuff, is a part of that lack of evolution, which to me is mindlessness, rather than being mindful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there are many people that actually don't need money to be happy. And there are some people who go into free fall anxiety if they haven't got money. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, yeah, let's make it more personal then. Like, the people that come and see you for a variety of issues and reasons will feel in one way or another powerless, I take it.
The biggest issues I get, I mean, I work at a variety of organisations, but I will get people sat down with me who are in tears, maybe big lads, you know, big boys don't cry. Well, they do when they come into the consulting room, you know, because their manager is bullying them.
Right.
Yeah, and what that effectively means is the manager is using the power of their position to demean or to work against another human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that managers can't manage. Managers need to exercise their power to do what they need to do, but it's the exercise of power in a fair way.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, maybe we need to kind of figure out the concept of power being something that it is used that can be transferred, a transfer of energy, rather than, well, in the case that you just mentioned, it's kind of like they're using the power to diminish the power of that other person.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of increase it.
Yeah.
So the issue there then is not so much with the guy that's in tears in front of you, although he obviously needs a bit of help. It's the manager is the real one that needs a chat.
Well, I always think in organisations, if you can sort out a manager, then you sort out maybe tens or hundreds of people's lives rather than just the one.
Just that one person.
So, which is why the thing I run when I'm out there is called Mindful Managers, because that's what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that very often the management want an organisation to change from the bottom up rather than the top down. Never changes from the bottom up. It always has to change from the top down, which means that the managers and the chief execs have to face up to and become mindful for that to trickle down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's getting the power right. Mm-hmm. And when you get bullying in an organisation, if it's down at the bottom level, it's because it's higher up the tree as well, because it rolls down. Yeah.
Do you think we could set up some kind of therapy group for politicians of various, like in the UK at least, is, I don't know, I mean, I think politicians get a bad rap on the whole, to be honest. I think, you know, most of them do really good work and work really hard in difficult circumstances. There are obviously a few, from my perspective, bad eggs that kind of are kind of bad for humanity.
Yeah.
But maybe they just need someone to talk to. They're not aware that a different way of doing things is out there.
I think there are two kinds of politician. They're the ones that are more paternalistic, and by that I don't mean male paternalist, they may be maternalistic. They're more like they want to care for. And then there are the people that want power, and they want power over other people. Mm-hmm. Like one of the scariest things...
They might both want the same outcome in terms of policy, though. They just have a different way of trying to get there.
But it's how do they feel at the end, isn't it? Because that's what power's about. Power's about if I exercise my power so that I feel powerful and I feel right.
Yeah.
And that usually means that the person that needs to feel the power actually feels powerless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a way, they're kind of impotent and they're trying to create potency by in the eyes of others. You know, I say jump and you say how high. Hey, that makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to, can I help you jump?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is the other way of doing it, isn't it? You know, I don't need to have control over others. And do I have control over money, water, food, what, you know, knowledge? What is it that I'm holding that I've got the power over that I'm not going to let you have?
Yeah.
You know, so we get the developed and the undeveloped world, that kind of stuff.
We live in an age where people power is probably greater than ever. You know, you can sign petitions, you can... Free speech in the UK, at least, you can go and... You know, bang a drum outside Parliament for weeks on end, and someone will finally listen to you. But, like, from my point of view, and you know, we had Jody in a couple of weeks ago, who's a huge advocate for veganism.
Mm.
Me as like a cyclist trying to encourage that. Me and Jody are kind of minorities because not many people ride to work, and veganism's on the rise, and it's talked about a lot. But she's still a minority. So how do you not? How do you still get your message across without feeling powerless and giving up?
Well, no, but that's a really interesting kind of concept, that, because what's the definition of success and failure? It's like, I can't go around, or to me it would be wrong to go around and tell everybody that they must be vegan, in the same way that I'm offended by Jehovah's Witnesses who bang on my door and demand that I become a Jehovah's Witness. You know, It's the issue of a lot of people to share. I'm interested in their story. But if they want to exercise their power to make me become something... I mean, one of the problems with the building of the British Empire was that the church came behind it and they were determined to beat Christianity into many Africans or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, you must do this, that your way of doing things is wrong. Yeah, we get rid of your gods and your stuff and we replace it with our stuff because we are right and we've got the power to make you do what we want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is when it becomes completely wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the difference, I guess, between people that are mindless do things to people and people that are mindful do things with people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a completely different effect there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you see it in the workplace. When you get a manager who does things with people, the people own it and they do it. When a manager does things to people, people start to react and get the morale drops and they start to get angry and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's no enthusiasm for working that extra 5 minutes when at the end of the day people are up and out of it.
Yeah, they've had enough. I'm going now.
Yeah, I'm out of it. I'm not doing any extra.
And that's when the exercise of power becomes completely destructive.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's a bit like the ego energy that we have, which is all we have to express ourselves in the world. If it's out the front and it's in the way, it's a battering ram,
it
starts to hit other people. Whereas if I can put that ego power behind me, so it's like a power pack that drives me forward, then I can become an effective human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, is my ego in the way or is it out of the way?
Yeah, I mean, everything comes back to politics for me at the moment, so apologies, but... Recent election we had, or in June, Labour lost, and yet it felt like they won. And I think the kind of number of votes for the Conservatives and Labour were close, but it felt like Labour won because they had the people power behind, didn't they? Rather, whereas the Conservative campaign was quite kind of, this is how it's done, this is how we're going to do it. Whereas Corbyn was just kind of had this kind of huge energy behind him, pushing it on, even though they didn't win.
I was listening to the news on the way over, and on the beep, and one of the things that they were saying was Boris Johnson is demanding that more money is put in the NHS. And the thing that the interviewer was saying was that the Conservatives are now scared that Labour can get in because of the NHS issues. And unless they're seen to be being more proactive about the NHS, they will lose the next election. Mm. Those are the predictions that are coming up. So the exercise of power in that instance. Because if you remember, when the election was going on, since we're talking about politics, that the Conservative bus had the £365 million a week.
Oh, the Leave EU bus. Yeah,
could go into the NHS, which turns out to be a misrepresentation. So that's a misuse of power. So people did things because they believed something because of what they were told.
Mm-hmm.
So propaganda, which is the exercise of power, is a way of manipulating other people into believing something that might not be true.
Yeah, it was a short-term gamble which paid off. Yeah. But the long-term play is that people are going to say, hang on a minute, you said this, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know, and people like me aren't going to let folks forget about that.
Yeah. But if you think about advertising is the same as propaganda. It's a way of exercising power over other people.
Yeah, it's about persuasion as well, isn't it, really? Like, effective ways to persuade people. I'm getting a cool little insight into that with my two little nippers. Will, the older, is 6, and he's obviously the bigger brother. He's 3 years older than his little bro. So he's physically stronger, and he can overpower little Jacob whenever he wants. But Jacob obviously counteracts that by squealing his head off and crying, help, 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 to me or his mum any point. But then I've noticed Will in the last 6 months or a year, he started to tweak his kind of his repertoire about convincing Jacob to do things. So rather than like physically trying to get him to do something, if he wants to play a certain game or do a certain thing, he kind of whispers in his ear now, like almost like the opposite of what he wants Jacob to do, to try and convince him verbally. So he switched from like pushing him around and jumping all over him to this verbal kind of persuasion. Like, so he's using his power differently. It's quite it's really interesting, actually.
Yeah. And where's he learning it from?
Well,
that's interesting, isn't it?
Because
I mean, it must learn stuff from you guys. Learn stuff from media.
He's either listening to us or he's watching YouTube Kids. So it's one of the two, probably a combination.
Or when he goes to school,
Or he'll be watching me. You know, on our way to school, I'm chatting to the lollipop man or other parents, that kind of thing. Or was watching me speak to whoever. Maybe he's sometimes in the room when I'm talking to clients on the phone about a bit of work. He'll be listening in, won't he?
Well, one of the things that's interesting about lots of faith groups is, like, if you look at Judaism, what they say is that if your mother's Jewish and your father's a Gentile, then you're a Jew. If your father's Jewish and your mother's a Gentile, then you're not Jewish.
Right.
And the reason they say that is because the mother exercises the moral power in the home, so that the mother will teach the children to be Jewish.
Okay.
Yeah, do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and if you look at it like that, that parents, and particularly mothers, I guess, have a huge responsibility because of the huge amount of power that they have over their children. And when you're talking about that idea between Will and Jacob, it's like they are learning something from you guys, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then you have the issue about, do you go and intervene in that, and how do you exercise your power in that?
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, as a parent... it's kind of certainly this stage before Will gets much older, it's one of the main places where I can actually have like feel powerful.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, some people take it a bit too far. Kind of, it can step into that realm of overpowering and violence, even against children, which is horrendous. But at the moment, I can get Will to do anything I want, really. You know, either by raising my voice or using language tactics just to kind of. Maybe say one thing but mean the other, and I can get him wrap around my little finger most of the time.
I guess the thing about all this is the acknowledging that we all have power and we're all exercising power all the time by what we spend, by what we say, by what we do. There's all kinds of ways that we exercise our power. The issue is, if we do that mindfully, then the product of us exercising our power is a positive experience for us and the people around us.
Yep.
Yeah. If we negatively exercise our power, we may feel positive for ourselves because we've won. But how many people feel diminished by that?
Yeah.
You know, and if you've had a lousy partner, a man who goes out and gets boozed and comes and beats the tar out of you. You know, they're exercising their power.
Yep.
And I suppose overall, at what we're talking about here is, and what's what we need to go on to in the next podcast, is the issue about responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we've all got power, can we be responsible for it?
With great power comes great responsibility, says the uncle in Spider-Man.
And that's where we need to go next with this, I think.
Why are we so obsessed with superhero movies at the moment? Is it because we feel powerless and we just love watching these characters that have that instant, ultimate power?
Well, no, I think there's a human story, which is the parable. You know, all the great avatars are the people that have superpowers and overcome things. And it doesn't matter whether those are religious avatars or whether they're superheroes. You see it played out in the Narnia story, where the superpower is the lion,
mm-hmm.
Aslan. Yeah, you see it played out in the Lord of the Rings. You see it played out in Harry Potter. It's
yep.
the same story over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But the superheroes come and they save us from the bad things.
Yeah.
Yeah, whether the superhero is someone with their tights on, or whether it's Harry Potter, they save us. They save humanity.
The villains have just as much power, don't they? But generally, they get sorted out.
Yeah, in our parables, the good overcomes bad. And that's part of the human consciousness. In the end, good will overcome bad.
Mm.
Yeah? I don't know whether that's true.
Who knows? Yeah, I know. Or at least we like to believe it, don't we? My lads are obsessed with Iron Man, Spider-Man, Hulk, all that luck. They absolutely love it.
But they're guys who don't take any messing. They sort it out and they make the world right.
Yeah, they have that moral side, don't they, that moral compass. Yeah. Sometimes they waver a little bit, but at the end of the film or the story, everyone's smiling and happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if half a city's been destroyed.
We're all happy about it, yeah.
Phew, yeah, at least those baddies are sorted out.
Yeah.
Do we need to accept, just to kind of wrap things up, a certain amount of powerlessness in our lives? Because ultimately, no matter how rich, wealthy, supremely powerful you are, you're going to die, right?
Yeah. And you're going to get ill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other things I like is...
You're going to get a flat tire every now and again.
Yeah, you're going to, yeah. If you give your system to another person, and that might be for a massage, for the dentist, for the hairdresser, for a surgeon, whatever it is, you actually give all your power away to that other person. You hang up your power at the door when you come in. Now, you assume you're going to come out of the surgeon with the right bits adjusted, taken out, sewn up. You're going to come out of the dentist with your teeth better than when you went in. You know, your haircut's going to look sexy. I guess if you're doing things like Botox and stuff like that, you're giving yourself to another person.
Yeah, handing over power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at that point, you do become powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, as a child, you're powerless to the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as Jodie would say, as an animal, you're powerless to what humans are going to do to you or with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think there are lots of occasions where we're all powerless. If we're in a situation which is benevolent and caring and loving, then we might feel safe in that powerlessness.
Yeah.
As opposed to feeling scared.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, I think we need to learn that when you hand over power, that it's not being wasted. It's being put to good use elsewhere, generally.
You know, the thing about planes, you know, you get on a plane and you're giving your power to the guy that's driving the plane, aren't you? Did you catch the thing in the news the other day about the guy that had to be wrestled off the plane, his pilot, because he was drunk?
I saw the headline, yeah. I didn't dare read on beyond that.
Yeah. So I wonder how many people then got on planes. They get...
There's a Denzel Washington movie in there where he plays a pilot who pulls off an amazing manoeuvre to save hundreds of lives, but he's blind, drunk and coked up and all sorts as he's doing it. I can't remember the name of it. But I've got a brother-in-law who's a commercial airline pilot, and he's straight as they come. Yeah,
yeah.
He's safe in his hands. As he were. I think he's Thomas Cook he flies for, but yeah. He's over in the Bahamas at the moment. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Good, yeah.
Anything else? Have you got a resource?
No, yeah, my resource for the week is a good old classic from the East, which is a chapter out of a bigger book. There's a bigger book called The Mahabharata. And this is a chapter out of that, which is called the Bhagavad Gita.
Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, I think you mentioned that a while back.
And it's a good story because it explains two basic fundamentals. One is karma, which is the result of your actions, and the other is dharma, which is to act appropriately in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So people that act dharmically use their power appropriately and have minimise any negative karmas from that.
Yeah.
But it explains how that happens. So it's a good story.
Cool. All right, mine's a good story as well. I've just it's Oscar season at the cinema, and we got a night off on Saturday, and we went to see Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, it's called.
Oh, right.
It's one of the Oscar contenders. You'll recognise the actress. In fact, it's got a really good cast. But it does relate to this week's show, because there's the main character, the lady in it, is feeling powerless against the police force in her little middle-of-nowhere town in America. So she hires three billboards near her house to kind of advertise the fact that she's not happy with the police over an incident that took place in her.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty dark, but funny as well, weirdly. It's like weirdly really funny, but really dark, quite a bit of violence in it. So watch the trailer. I'll stick it in the show notes. But really, good film.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Good film.
Good one.
Right, we all done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Next week we're talking about Spider-Man.
And responsibility.
Okay.
So what does he say?
With great power comes great responsibility.
And he's right.
Yeah, be a superhero, don't be the villain.
Yeah.
Basically, innit?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links, resources, freebies, sign up for alerts, weekly alerts for this podcast as well. We'll send you out every Thursday morning. You'll get a message from us. Sure, you have a good week.
And you have a good time.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.